But we're missing a lot of women. They'll be back this afternoon, and so we'll have at least the singing back to normal next time. But it's great to have all of you here who are able to be here with us today, and do want to keep our ladies in prayer as they travel back this afternoon. We are continuing our study on Not a Fan, but a Follower. And again, just a reminder to you, as we go through this study, as we continue not just the videos in the evening, but our studies on Sunday mornings and our worship time, that this is a challenge for us to really look at ourselves. This isn't a look at anybody else. It's not look at the person next to you or, you know, your friends or anybody you hang out with. This is look at yourself. And really ask some important questions about your relationship with Jesus. Are you a fan or are you a follower of Jesus? And it's also to help us to confirm, see, our faith in Jesus and our following of Him in our lives. So as we look at these things, the challenge is there for us to always be looking and evaluating and checking to see, where am I in my following of Jesus? We start this morning in our lesson, and the issue for this lesson has to do with, is Jesus in your life one of many, or is He your one and only? Now, that's a pretty important thing to think about, isn't it? What position does Jesus have in your life, every day of your life? We go over to John chapter 6 as our text that we read this morning. We need to actually go back a little bit before that 60th verse so we understand the context of those statements that were read for us. Jesus has just given to this large crowd of people what is oftentimes referred to as His discourse on the bread of life. In other words, Jesus is giving this really intense teaching about the significance of Him being our bread of life. In other words, and He compares Himself and what God has given to the Israelite people through Jesus to the manna that God gave to the Israelites when they were wandering in the wilderness. And He challenges those in the audience that are listening to Him that day. And He says things like, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Well, you know, those kinds of teachings are, that's pretty intense stuff, say, for them to be hearing. Now, keep in mind that just before this, Jesus has fed a crowd of over 5,000 people by giving them some bread and some fish, say. And so the people are chasing after Jesus because they want to have more food, you see. And so Jesus then challenges them with these kinds of thoughts, saying, look, the food that you're chasing after is physical food. It's only going to sustain your physical life, but what you need is spiritual food, and that's Me. And unless you have this spiritual food that is Jesus, He's saying, you have no life in you. Well, you know, for a lot of those folks that came out for the food, say, those kind of teachings were really tough to hear. Because what He was telling them was, there's some things about you and about your life that you've got to change. See? Because having life isn't just about having physical food. It's about giving your life to God. And so with that kind of a context that we read these statements of John writes, beginning in verse 60, on hearing it, many of His disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept this? In other words, wait a minute. This is not really, this is tough stuff here. See? And Jesus, aware that His disciples are grumbling, asks them this question. And this is a significant question for you and I today to ask ourselves when it comes to the teachings of Jesus. Jesus says to them, "Does this offend you?" I want you to think about that statement, that question that Jesus asked. Does this offend you? See? Well, what is he talking about? He's talking about the teachings that he just laid before them. That many of those who were there in that audience had heard, they were grumbling about the teachings that they just heard. They didn't like it. It wasn't what they wanted to hear. And so Jesus challenges them with that question, does this offend you? So you and I need to really stop and consider the teachings of Jesus. And we need to have that same question asked of ourselves. Does this offend you? In other words, do the teachings of Jesus offend you? Wow. That's significant, isn't it? You know, I have to admit, there are things in the Bible that I read and I study, and some of those things, I don't like them. You know, I mean, I wish Jesus would have said this instead of that. You know, there's some of those rules, you know, some of those things that he says about how he wants us to live, and I go, well, it sure would be a whole lot easier if I didn't have to forgive those who hurt me all the time. I mean, if I could just forgive the people that I wanted to, you know, the people that are come back to me and apologize, you know, boy, that would be a whole lot easier. But he doesn't say that, does he? You know, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Or, you know, that's tough, isn't it? But I have a choice about teachings like that that are tough. I can either go, wait, this is a hard saying, and I'm just not going to follow that. And I can do like these disciples, many of them did, turned and followed Jesus no more. Or I can say, yeah, that's tough, but I'm going to obey Jesus. And I'm not going to be offended by what Jesus says. I'm going to be challenged by it. And I'm going to follow Him. You see, that's a choice that people make. And when Jesus put out these hard teachings that He was laying before these folks, many of them being offended by what He was saying because I think they were wearing their faith on their sleeves, you know how that saying goes, and so they turned and they quit following Him because they were offended by what Jesus was teaching. You see, Jesus was calling for a response on their part to what He was saying. He's calling for a response to His teachings. And I think He does the same thing for you and I today. The teachings of Jesus require a response from us. The question is, what are we going to do with it? We can be offended by the things that Jesus teaches. We can go off and no longer follow Him, or we can learn and face the challenge and do what it is that He tells us to do. Because you see, I think a lot of people today are still offended by the teachings of Jesus. See? In other words, there are many today that hear the teachings of Jesus and they turn away and say, I don't want to have any part of that. And they don't want to have any part of religion or Jesus or Christianity or anything. And then there are a lot of folks who are offended by the teachings of Jesus who will turn away and they'll go out and start their own religion. That's how we ended up with denominationalism, by the way. We got all these churches out here that are doing their own thing because the teachings of Jesus have offended them in some way. They don't agree with this, they don't agree with that. And so they go off and do their own thing. But the issue for us this morning is, and the question there is, what about you? Are you offended by the teachings of Jesus? Or those hard teachings that you are faced with, do they challenge you? See, you have a choice. You can be offended by them and go, well, fine, I'm just not going to do that part. And in that sense, you're not following him any longer. Or you can accept that challenge and go, yeah, it's a tough teaching, it's hard, but it's what God wants me to do, and that's what I'm going to do. See, the choice is ours. But one thing you have to understand is, and I've said this many, many times before, you know, the Bible oftentimes teaches us some very powerful lessons by what it doesn't say as much as what it does say. And this is one of those great examples of that. Because what it doesn't say here is that Jesus chased after those disciples who left and said, wait a minute, guys, I didn't really mean it that way. Sorry, let's talk about this. I don't want you to leave. No, it doesn't tell us that at all, does it? Because Jesus didn't do that. He put out these hard teachings, and when those turned and left and followed him, he turned to the 12 and he said, do you want to leave too? And Peter responded, Lord, to whom should we go? For no one else has the words of eternal life. You see, Jesus' teachings are what they are. They are his word and his will. And he's not going to change them, not one bit, to satisfy us. See? But he calls upon us to follow him according to his word and his will for our lives. Our decision has to be, are we going to follow him or are we going to turn and walk away? Now, I've planned this morning for you to have a pop quiz. Okay, now if you're kind of like me, when you were in school, you dreaded those days when the teacher would, you know, come out and say, all right, everybody take out a piece of paper and a pencil and get ready for a pop quiz. Oh, man. I mean, it was like, I knew I should have read that stuff last night, right? You've been there, right? Oh, yeah, okay. We got some honest people here. A few of you raised your hand, you know. Okay, but we're going to have a pop quiz this morning. You don't need a piece of paper or a pencil or anything. Just think about these questions that I'm going to ask you. And the reason that I'm giving you this test this morning is for you to evaluate your heart. That's really what it's all about. But I want you to really think about these answers or these questions before you answer them. Okay, because these questions can really reveal whether or not you're a fan or whether you're a follower. So let's take a pop quiz. Question number one, for what do you sacrifice your time and money? Now think about that. For what do you sacrifice your time and your money? You see, the reason that's such an important question is because where we spend our time and our money oftentimes reveals the true desires of our heart. In other words, what is most important to us. We typically will spend the most of our time and the most of our money on those things that are most important to us. Make sense? So if you want to find out what's really important to you, then go and take a look at your checkbook, you say, and take a look at your calendar. And that will help you to figure out what kinds of things are really most important. What do you sacrifice your time and your money on? Jesus in Matthew chapter 6 says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So you see, it really does help us to understand and to look at where we spend our time and money, because that's a good indication as to where our heart is. All right? Question number two, what disappoints or frustrates you the most? What disappoints or frustrates you the most? Okay? Think about it for a moment. You see, overwhelming disappointment and frustration in our lives may reveal to us that something is way too important. You see, there is a certain amount of frustration and disappointment that comes with life, isn't it? And there are some things that occur that are really big, important things that occur in our lives that, you know, when those things happen, we're going to get frustrated and we're going to be disappointed about those. To do otherwise wouldn't be normal. And sometimes in my counseling practice, I have people that will come to me and they're struggling with being down and depressed and so forth. And we'll talk about it and go, well, tell me what's going on. And they're telling me about all these different events that over the last several months or you know, years have been taking place in their lives. And I'm going, well, you know, if you weren't depressed a little bit, I'd be worried about you with all of those kinds of things that have been happening to you in your life. That's normal, you say. But what's not normal is for us to allow things that are really shouldn't be that important to consume our lives and our attention with disappointment and frustration. When those kinds of things start kind of regulating how we're feeling and functioning in our day-to-day lives, then maybe that's a good indication of something that's more important in our lives than it really should be. For instance, let's say that, you know, you take your family out to the ballpark to watch a game. And everybody's anticipating, you know, we're going to go and have a good time. We're going to, you know, going to get some Cracker Jacks and a hot dog and peanuts and popcorn and all that stuff. You know, we're going to have a great time at the ball game tonight. And so you go to the ball game expecting to have all this great fun, and you're cheering your team on, but the end of the ninth inning, your team loses the game. And the disappointment is so overwhelming that the whole ride home is nothing but frustration and anger and because your team lost the game and it's just consuming you. And so the whole then event becomes a negative. It becomes depressing, you see, because perhaps maybe the focus on your team winning is more important than it should be. Now, are you disappointed that your team didn't win? Yeah, that's normal. Okay? But when that disappointment begins to consume us, especially over trivial things, then we got to take a really good hard look at what's really important to us. Okay? So a good way to do that is to really look at what kinds of things disappoint and frustrate you the most. Okay, question number three. Last question on your pop quiz. Question number three. What gets you really excited? What kinds of things get you really excited? And the reason this question is so important is because, again, like the other ones, this question, and really taking an honest look at it, can really help us to reveal what might be competing in our lives with Jesus. Okay. So in other words, is there something in your life that gets you more excited than anything else? You see? And would somebody see you being excited about some event or some special thing or whatever it might be and say, wow, I've never seen you get this excited before about anything. And what would that thing be that you are the most excited about that you've ever been in your life? See? Is it Jesus? Or is it something else? You see, you know, do we get more excited about, you know, watching our favorite program on TV and following the episodes from week to week than we do about studying and learning and even being at worship with our brothers and sisters and learning more about Jesus and so forth? What kinds of things really get you excited? Okay. In other words, are you the kind of person who really, you know, we're supposed to finish at this particular time with our worship service, and we offer invitation, and you're sitting back there going, I hope nobody comes down the aisle to be baptized today because I got to get out of here and the game starts at this time. And, you know? Or do you really get excited that we had somebody that said, hey, I'm ready to give my life to the Lord and I need to have my sins washed away, and we're excited that that person wants to do that. So everything else takes a back seat. What gets you excited in your life? Okay. Now, I'm not going to take up your question, you know, your test sheets or anything like that. That's between you and the Lord. But I'll give you that pop quiz just to challenge your thinking on these three very important questions. Because those questions can reveal the place that Jesus holds in our heart. And that brings us to the last point here. A couch or a throne? What place does Jesus have in your heart? In other words, does Jesus have a throne? Is he sitting on the throne of your heart in your life, or have you just kind of relegated him to one of the three cushions on a couch in your heart? You see? In other words, that you've got him there, and yeah, he's there in your heart, but he's sharing that space with something or someone else that, as far as you're concerned, is just as important as Jesus is. You see, the thing that we have to understand is Jesus doesn't want, and he's not willing to share that space with anyone. See? Jesus doesn't want to have a cushion on the couch of your heart. In other words, he wants to have the throne. And it's not good enough to just give him a cushion, one of a few spaces along with everything else. Take a look with me at a passage we've talked about before, and I want to see how many of you remember this. Colossians chapter 1, where the Apostle Paul tells us about the place that Jesus deserves and requires in our lives and in our hearts. Beginning in verse 15 of Colossians chapter 1, he says, He, that is Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, invisible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authority, all things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And verse 18, He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have the supremacy. Literally meaning first place. Okay? That He might have first place in our lives. Not second place, not a tie. You see? A tie is not good enough. You see, that He might have first place. You remember, those of you who remember me talking about this before, and I gave you a little way to remember what it is that he says there. When Paul is writing, he says, the main thing is what? To keep the main thing. That's right. You see? That Jesus needs to be, He wants to be, He demands to be the main thing in our life. Not second, not third, not again tied with anything else, but the main thing. And so for us as followers of Jesus, the main thing in our life needs to be to keep the main thing. Because if anything else becomes the main thing in our life, we're in trouble. Because Jesus will not share the cushions on a couch of your heart with anyone or anything. And that's why in Luke chapter 14, a text that we've looked at a couple of different times already. Go back there and we're going to finish up here this morning. Luke chapter 14, when Jesus says to this large crowd of people that are following him, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Jesus, as I said, does not want to share the cushions on a couch with your parents or your spouse or your children or your neighbors or your job or your favorite TV programs or anything else, not your hobbies or anything. See? And that's why he uses this strong language that he does. If you want to follow me, then you need to understand that I require to be number one. Not one of many, but the one and only in your life. So the question, the last question is, who sits on the throne of your heart? Is it Jesus or is it something or someone else? Okay. It's a challenge for us to really look deep into our heart and to decide, am I following Jesus or am I just standing on the sidelines cheering him on as one of his number one fans? Jesus doesn't want fans. That's why he taught these difficult teachings that he taught, because he wants his followers to know what's involved, what they're committing to. If Jesus' intent was to gather just large crowds of people, you see, then he would have taught things a whole lot nicer than what he taught. You see? But he didn't, because his intention was not just to have a lot of people following him. His intention was to have true followers that will be committed completely to him. So who's on the throne of your heart? We're going to stand and sing an invitation song in just a moment. The Lord's invitation is open to you. And the challenge is there for you to look at and to see, is there something or someone else that's there on the throne of my heart other than Jesus? If it is, then I urge you to remove that person or that thing, whatever, and put Jesus where He rightly belongs. There may be some sin in your life that you're struggling with, that Satan's got you bound up in, and you need some help with it to overcome it. We want to be able to help you with that. And if you're not a Christian yet, if you've not given your life to Christ, you can do that right now, this morning. Put Jesus on the throne of your heart by confessing Him as Lord, repenting of the sin that's separating you from God, and having those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now, this morning. All you have to do is come up and let me know that that's what you'd like to do. I'll be up here to receive anyone that would like to come up to the front. Ted will be in the back if you'd like to have a private conversation. You're not going to be in the back? Oh, you're leading singing. Dale will be in the back. I'm sorry. I was sitting over here looking at Wes, and I kept thinking Wes was the song leader, but My fault, I'm sorry. But Dale will be in the back to receive anyone that would like to have a private conversation or prayer with him. Let's stand together and sing.